Patrick's Day to everyone. This is a special meeting of the Personnel Committee. Madam Clerk, please call item one.
From the Interim Director, Department of Labor Relations, recommending that the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors reaffirm the 2011 adopted budget policy of implementing health care plan design changes for all retirees and implement the 2011 health care plan for those retirees previously covered under the 2007-2008 District Council 48 Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Mr. Baum?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think the way it's written in the agenda is pretty much summarizes what we want to do with this resolution. Since we do not have a labor contract with AFSCME District Council 48 and will not, once the legislation that was passed last week is published and becomes law, we would like to implement the in effect non-represented health insurance package for the District Council 48 retirees. We're bringing it forward at this time so that we can implement it as soon as possible, because as is noted in the resolution, in the sixth whereas clause, there are anticipated $400,000 of savings per month with the implementation of this act, or with the implementation of this program.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Bell, let's do a couple of housekeeping things first of all, because I just got a call from a DC 48 person. So if that person retires, who's a current employee now and retires either this month or in April, the retiree contributions here start May 1st, correct?
No, these aren't contributions. These are putting the retirees into the what is now the non-representative employee's medical plan.
Okay,
there it doesn't involve contributions of any kind by them.
There is a cost, though, isn't there?
They will pay higher deductibles and things like and co-pays.
Okay.
But there is no direct contribution to the monthly premium.
Okay. The Medicare Part B will also be in effect for them?
If they retire after March 31st, I believe is the date.
Mr. Rudini?
I just want to make a couple things clear because it's obviously a very complicated issue. These changes, the four bullet points on the report, I think are the most important for everyone to understand. Adopting this change will not affect active employees. A person's retirement date has no effect on this change. Whether a person retired last month, whether a person retires today, whether a person retires a year from now, the health care plan that we're proposing for retirees, which will affect DC 48 retirees, will still be the same. A person's retiree date has no impact on this change. This change will apply to them regardless of when they retire, once they retire. This change does not affect eligibility for retired health care. If an employee is currently eligible for retiree health care, regardless of when they retire, they would still be eligible for retiree health care. What this does is it adopts some of the cost-sharing mechanisms that were included in the 2010 and 2011 budgets. In regards to Medicare Part B, this has nothing to do with Medicare Part B. This is only has to do with the retiree health care provided by Milwaukee County. It will not change eligibility for Medicare Part B for retirees of DC 40.
First of all, I want to welcome County Executive Pratt. Thank you for attending this and being present. Mr. Borkowski, you still have the floor.
Okay. So, Mr. Rugini, I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the Medicare Part B, okay, which is, what is it, like a $200 that starts on March 31st. If a person, please explain that, because that's the issue here.
Absolutely, Supervisor. Madam Chair, Supervisors, Medicare Part B is a federal health care plan provided to individuals over the age of 65. Currently, for individuals from Milwaukee County who were hired prior to 1994, upon retirement, once they hit the age of 65 and are eligible for Medicare Part B, the county picks up the premium contribution that's required by the federal government. That's based on income. On average, it's about $100 per month per dependent. So if an employee has a spouse, it's approximately $200 per month for both of them that the county is paying on behalf of them. In the 2011 budget, we adopted a policy that effective March 31st, non-represented retirees would no longer be effective. If they retired after March 31st, they would no longer be eligible to receive that reimbursement of the Medicare Part B premium. Based on the legal counsel we've been provided about the impacts of the budget repair bill, until the county takes affirmative action to expand that to other groups, the March 31st deadline only applies to non-represented retirees, to individuals who retire after March 31st, who are non-represented staff. The change we have presented to you today will not impact that.
Gotcha.
The county board would have to take action on a separate resolution that is not before you today to take that action.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, I guess, you know, we've already put together kind of a Q&A for maybe a week or so ago as far as all kinds of rumors that have been running rampant. I would ask that the Department of Human Resources would also do something that in anticipation of DC 48 people coming forward with questions like that, also for the entire county board, if we could have kind of facts and figures as far as if we get calls from constituents who are retirees, what exactly that means on May 1st. Okay, so I'm going to ask that be made as an action step, Madam Chair, and I would hope that would have been done anyways. But I think that, in fairness to the county board, we're going to be getting those calls.
Madam Chair, the DAS managers, as well as the employee benefits workers, have been meeting daily since the budget repair bill was signed. We are in the process of finalizing a frequently asked questions document, which should provide answers to many of the questions. But as some of us were just talking prior to this, the effects of this bill are far-reaching, and there's more questions than we have the time to answer. But as people ask questions, we will continue to add to that document.
Great.
But we think it's a very good start, and we hope to have it out hopefully sometime today. It's being finalized and going through a final review. I believe it's over 10 pages long right now. So we've tried to be very comprehensive. It's in no one's interest that people take action on information that isn't entirely accurate. We are committed to this board and to the county executive to providing employees with the most accurate information that we can, and we're trying to do that at this time.
Great. Thank you.
Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This committee concurred and helped direct that the administration and the health care advisory group put together some of the changes that need to be done, and so I do recognize that that's what you've done. It is something that we will need to do. I guess I just have a couple questions for you, one of which is that I just want to make it very clear that if you read this document, which is what's published on, you know, our website, it's what's given to the public, you realize that there's nothing in this document that specifies what the changes are. And I think all it says is on line 35 that we reaffirm its prior policy statement made in the 2011 adopted budget that the 2011 health care plan designs adopted shall be implemented. It doesn't say what that is, what the differences are. And as a result, it's not only a bit confusing for me, unless I'm missing something from it, but I think it will be confusing for the public. And we're talking about $3 million net savings this year. net savings of about $4.5 million the next year, and I'm wondering if it's possible to have the document amended to outline what those changes are before the board acts on it. I'm not trying to do it for this, but I think we're well aware what those changes are, but it's a concern to me because it's not clear in here what we're actually adopting if you're not someone who doesn't have the plan memorized.
Mr. G, let me ask you this question. Is it contained in our budget org unit 72? Mr. Cady seems to be shaking yes. 1950.
When the budget was passed, the differentiation between 1950 and 1972, we included all of the items which at that time had to be negotiated. When we put together the budget, we thought that the contracts would be finalized, so we put the retiree portion into 1950. So you can find in Org 1950 the plan design. Is that what you're passing out, Rick?
We're having a table passed out here, summary of retiree 2009 health plan compared to 2011 health plan. And Mr. Session, I assume this basically sets out the 1950 provisions in that budget document.
Madam Chair, this is a comparison between the 1950 budget document and the existing terms of the 2007-2008 DC-48 contract.
And I'd like to emphasize that non-ref retirees, attorney retirees, machinist retirees, and Teamco retirees have all been under this plan since January 1st. We are not doing anything different than what this board adopted and which we implemented for all groups that we could effective January 1st of this year.
I recognize that, and with all due respect, I can appreciate all the work behind this. My concern is it's in 1950, but the public doesn't know what 1950 is. The retirees don't know what 1950 is, and this document, which becomes the public document that says what we're adopting, I can never remember adopting a healthcare plan in a document that doesn't say what the actual changes are. So I'm just trying to get the document that goes to the public that is really the only document that most people are going to see, whether it's retirees or someone online or whatever. All I'm asking is that the document reflect what we're actually doing, because if you look at it, you don't know how you get to a $3 million savings. So it's a housekeeping request versus a rejection. It's a housekeeping request, but I think it's an important one, because I just don't remember ever adopting a resolution that specifically having to do with employee benefits hasn't been a little clearer. And we're all well aware of what you're talking about. You are as well. So I guess I'm wondering from our staff if that is possible to get that in, you know, if we have a whereas clause or something that before later this afternoon, so that we don't hold the process up, but at the same time get that clarity.
Mr. Cady.
Madam Chair, Supervisor would be happy to put that information into an amendment that could be incorporated into this resolution.
Would it be possible just to indicate that this comparison table is attached for further information on the details of the plan?
We would be happy to attach to the file to the resolution the table that you're looking at. And again, this was part of the adopted budget, and there was just some concern whether we could go forward with it without an additional action, but this resolution was brought to you just to make sure everyone was understanding what was happening. So.
And Supervisor.
And Madam Chair, also, when you take a look at this, it's a summary of retiree 2009 healthcare plan compared to 2011. But if someone from the outside was looking at this, they wouldn't really, what it really looks at is HMO comparable and PPO comparable. It doesn't say this is the 2009 plan and this is the 2011.
Madam Supervisor, if you look at what's highlighted
in
yellow.
I'm sorry, I misread it.
So
we just got this.
I know, I understand.
I also
wanted to add that the Employee Benefits Division has drafted a letter that will be sent to all retirees affected by this that provides this table and a lot of detail about what the change is. retirees affected by this will be offered the opportunity to change their choice on whether they want to remain in the PPO or remain in the HMO or switch between the two. So we will be communicating to retirees on a person-by-person basis with that letter.
And then, Madam Chair, the only thing...
Could you finish up, because we have a lot to do before 9:30.
I know. I only have one other comment, and I think it's an important one. I support this. It was in the budget. I think a lot of AFSCME employees who are current know about it. I'm not as comfortable that all the retirees knew that this was something the county wanted to do, and that's an issue of concern for me, and I hope you will immediately send out a letter notifying them before it's implemented so that they don't walk into an emergency room 3 weeks from now or whatever and get hit and not know that it was coming. And I would hope that that letter goes out before it takes into effect. And I see that Mr. Regini is nodding, so I appreciate that. But for the future, as we move to implement a lot of these changes that we can do in the future, I'm concerned that if we do so with very short notice, where the public doesn't have much time or our employees don't have much time to know that we're considering it, that message that we send could cause more panic and more people to retire from jobs that we need people in. And the speed by which we're doing this could be a problem if we continue that in the future. I think this is a unique situation because it was in the budget, et cetera, and I can support it, but I just hope that at the future changes that we make, we give more time for the public to understand them and be able to comment on them so that it doesn't undercut our efforts to reassure other county employees that major changes will be made with enough notice for them to make comment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other supervisors? Supervisor Sample.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important to emphasize that this does not affect the Medicare issue, because to me that's a whole separate issue when we talk about things that retirees were promised, you know, as opposed to having a monthly premium or not. And recognizing that these savings are important to the county and it's part of our budget that we passed for 2011, it's my hope that we'll be able to reduce some furlough days with these savings as well. And with that, I'd like to move approval.
Supervisor Weishen would like to be heard on this issue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you just have clarified for me, we have the deductible, I believe it's from $1,500, that is then reimbursed by the health savings accounts, and how that affects these retirees, because we reimburse for active employees, and are we applying this to retirees, and then they don't.
Mr. Regini, can you answer Supervisor Weishen's question?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, as is the case for January 1st for the retirees that this was applied to, by IRS regulation, we are not allowed to provide a flexible spending account to non-employees. So retirees will not have a flexible spending account reimbursed as active employees do.
I guess the impact on retirees is that they will be hit with a $1,500 increase. That's what you're voting on doing when you're voting to apply this to the current retirees.
Depending on their plan and the
that's why I'd like
the family.
Someone to clarify if there is a way to. For those retirees not to incur this $1,500 cost.
Mr. Regini?
Madam Chair, before I answer that question, I'd like to add to my previous answer. Another difference between active employees and retirees is active employees pay a premium contribution. Retirees do not. So while the retirees are incurring a non-reimbursed expense, they may incur a non-reimbursed expense as it relates to the deductible, depending on their utilization of the plan, they are continue to not pay a monthly premium as our active employees do, and that's based on ordinance requirements. To answer the supervisor's question, the $1,500 deductible is a component of the cost-sharing design of the plan to save money. There is no way that you can save you can achieve the cost savings that we've put into this plan without the deductible.
Supervisor, question. One more question, and then we're going to have to move on.
I want this to be, if it is as simple as having the seniors that retirees that are out there join a certain HMO so they don't have that expense, that's one thing. But if it is, it doesn't matter what plan you pick, as a retiree, you're going to get hit with a $1,500 increase. I think it just needs to be as simply stated as that. And I don't think we need to rush through this as far as the law does not take effect until March 25th. There is multiple legal challenges that some very intelligent, well-respected lawyers have said that, you know, this may not be implemented. So I don't want to get us into a situation where we now start to change plans, take benefits away, or increase costs, only to, in the future, have to repay those retirees because something was deemed illegal. And I do think that there is a bit of, screaming about, a manipulation of the system here as far as to get this done. Because I don't think it's something of this magnitude and with the political atmosphere that honestly, that the Personnel Committee should dump this on the rest of the county board without it being fully vetted and have supervisors have the ability to come down here and say their piece, to have people who are affected, constituents come down and say their piece. So I don't see any problem with laying the item over for one cycle so that we can get the correct information. As Supervisor DeBruin said, that we can post all those frequently asked questions and get something out there that is clearly black and white that people can understand.
Thank you. Mr. Weishman brings up a good question, and that question is the effective date of these changes.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, the reason we're bringing this before you today is because there is a lead time that we need administratively to implement these changes. We have to work with our healthcare provider, United Healthcare, to change the plan. We have to communicate with retirees and allow them the opportunity to make plan changes. Employee benefits has estimated to myself and the employee benefits work group that they need 30 days, and it has to be after the first of the month. So based on that, the earliest we can implement, if you pass this today, is May 1st. Should something happen that would prevent us legally from implementing, we would pull back. But in order to achieve the maximum savings, we need to be ready to go so we can hit the May 1st deadline. But if something occurs and legally we are required not to do this, we can pull back.
So it's a notice provision in the event the law is found if it's not published, for example, if it's not effective, I assume a second notice would go out pulling the original statements out. Would I be correct in that assumption?
We haven't talked about the details of the notice. I'm not sure if we'll wait until the publication, until the bill is up to be published before even sending the notification out. Either way, if we send something, if we do choose to send notification to retirees if something changed, we'll absolutely re-notify them that the plan has been suspended for the time being.
All right. We have tremendous pressures for our closed session. I'll give you 30 seconds, Supervisor Weishman.
And that is fine, that we can have a county board meeting, a full county board meeting, a special meeting to deal with this item. It's not that we have to be rushed or put in a position. There's nothing to say in a week or two that we could not have a special board meeting to deal with this single item. So I would see that there's no reason to rush.
Thank you. I think the committee has heard that message. Real quickly,
Madam Chair, just to put some of these numbers in context, I think that it's clear that $400,000 monthly savings is there because there is a change in the cost-sharing formula. But on that $1,500 deductible, the committee should just remember that it's $500 per individual. So generally, our retirees, if it's a single retiree, it's $500. A married couple retiree is $1,000. And if they have another dependent, it would go up to $1,500. The communication that Matt Hanchick has drafted is exactly similar to the communication that was sent to the non-reps, I believe, in December of 10, informing them about how these changes would affect them going forward as well.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Yes, just a clarification, this Q&A going out, too. Now, when you say, and see if I have this right, when you say retirees don't pay premiums, it's true for retirees who had 15 years of continuous service before 1994. So any retirees after that will still have to be paying some premiums. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, thank you for that clarification. You are correct. If a retiree was hired prior to 1994, in most cases, based on union representation, they retire with full health care, no premium. If an individual was hired after 1994 and retires from the county, they can choose to remain on the county's health care plan, but they pay the full premium or the full COBRA rate as developed by our county actuary. So you are correct, Supervisor. I misspoke slightly.
Well, thank you, because it does get complicated with the different rules. But then, and those, that's all figured in the savings and the numbers you have. You took that obviously in consideration before we got these numbers. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to correct my motion to include a motion to approve with the understanding that this additional information will be added in.
Do we need an amendment to that? Or is it
Well, we're just discussing that. You can do it as a proposed amendment. Vote on the amendment to add the way as possible. Vote on the amendment.
All right, so I'll treat that as an amendment, Supervisor Sanfilippo. Madam Clerk, the amendment is to add the chart explaining the medical plan changes along with the resolution. So first on the amendment, please call the roll.
Borkowski.
Aye.
De Bruin.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The amendment is approved.
And then Supervisor Sanfilippo, it's my understanding that you're moving approval of the resolution as amended.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Borkowski.
Aye.
De Bruin.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The resolution is approved as amended.
Supervisor Borkowski, you have a motion.
Okay.